As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm glad to be here and given the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and talk about the things that impact our world now and in the future. It's important that we are prepared and ready to speak about the issues that are going on in our world today. We have to make sure that we're on top of things and not letting other people speak for us. We have to speak for ourselves. We're going to take a short break, right now to give everyone an opportunity to get called in so that we can continue our conversation or start our conversation on today's show. That it turns out okay. I mean, I think there needed to be a response. I think the response was a little weak. I thought it lacked commitment. But I'm going to wait to see what kind of continual behavior our president has related to his action. I thought that if you wanted to end their ability for their planes to take off and bomb their own people, that he should have bombed all of the bases and made sure that all of the bases were unusable. But as we know now, the base that he did bomb, they were able to continue to use it and launch planes from it. So I find that the attack that he did was weak. Now we find that Russia is sending some warships in the area. We're going to see what happens as those ships get to wherever their location is going to be and how he's going to respond to those ships being in the same area. You know, we have to be honest. He is our president. He was fairly elected by interference from Russia. He now has to make tough choices. He cannot continue the rhetoric of blaming Barack Obama for where we are. It is time for him to stand up now and do what is necessary to keep our country straight again. And he says he's going to make us the greatest country again. So we need to see that. But I am a little disappointed that the airbase is still usable. I'm disappointed that he did not launch more missiles in Syria. It is just obvious to me, or a little strange to me, that less than 10 people were killed in his response. It's kind of strange to me that only less than 100 people were killed in the Syrian response. I am a little bit, I guess, I feel like there's something going on where these were measured responses to give both Syria and America the opportunity to save some face and show that we would both do things that were tough. I believe Russia is going to be neutral. I believe that there's going to be some compromises made that allow him to save face on both sides, and that the status quo will continue. I have no thought that what he did, or no thought or belief that what he did was decisive. If you're going to make a statement, it ought to be a decisive statement and not one that does minor damage. If you're going to fire 50 Tomahawk missiles, then they ought to do something that is truly decisive, and I just don't see that happening. We will see as we move forward what else will take place, but I think this was just a measured response that allows him to look tough without being tough. And that's where I stand. He has yet to do anything that truly makes me believe that there's not something afoot. Because until he does something that truly sets him apart and puts some kind of true obstacle between Russia and ourselves, I'm going to continue to believe that they are trying to find a way to get that $14 billion that exists in Siberia. Ultimately, somebody's after the money, and that is where my thoughts are. And I look forward to seeing otherwise, but what has been done now does not show me any strength or decisive decision-making. Dee, what are your thoughts in regards to the steps that our president took in regards to Syria?
Good afternoon, James, and thank you for the subject. Well, you know, anytime we talk about the Trumpster, I have to vow and pledge also to stay calm and breathe. So we on this side of the conversation can try to make some sense of it all. All right. First of all, I think of what I want to say is that he had to make some type of response after continuously trying to throw President Obama under the bus for not wanting to engage in any military altercations. So he had to make some kind of response, all right? You probably very well know that they had communications with Russia or with Syria to let them know what they was going to hit and where and what time they was going to hit it. Now, that may seem a little strange in order to do that, but he had to do that for two reasons. The first reason that I think that he had to let them know they was coming is because the Syrian military and government have a tendency to use innocent people as human shields. So that's why you probably saw the casualty count so low, because they will hide in hospitals and things of that sort. You're talking about some real chicken fire stuff. They good for that. All right. The fact that there is still a real issue with his cabinet. It's real shaky inside his cabinet. You know, Steve Bannon was demoted. He was like number four or five in the echelon of the cabinet, and he's been demoted because he has a nationalist ideology. All the rhetoric that you was hearing during the campaign, that was amplified by Steve Bannon and the Breitbart ideology. And I'm not sure if y'all done followed up on Breitbart. But again, them in the alt-right movement have strong interest in the Trump presidency. So the cabinet itself is still not up and running when it comes down to a presidential standpoint. So so that was the reason for the weak retaliation for their practices over there. The cabinet is not in full swing, but they did have to appear to be willing to do something, and I think that's what he showed.
Well, Dave, my issue is, you know, if you're not going to do something that truly is decisive and it makes a difference, and I truly believe what it is that you said, because it's been said that Russia was contacted and told so that no Russians would die in this confrontation or this display of force. And I believe what you said in terms of Syria being notified, if not by us, by Russia, so that their casualties would be low. But I'm going even a step further and say the casualties were low related to the chemical weapons that they chose to use initially. And so I believe that responses were all measured as a way of calculating and reducing the casualties so that all parties could get what they wanted or needed. He needed to look presidential, and he needed to show that he was willing to do something that Russia didn't like, so to tone down this belief that him and Russia is in bed together. And so I just don't believe that normally under normal circumstances, when people do decisive military actions, we don't have these kind of low casualty counts. And so I'm just not convinced that these were the real thing, and I just want to see what goes on supposedly Russia is sending their warships into the area. What are they sending them there for? You know, what is this response? And they're talking tough in terms of Russia, in terms of what we did. But we want to see what happens as a result of the tough talk that Russia is doing. And so it's just, it's interesting to me. Now, I have concerns or thoughts related to these people dying as a result of chemical weapons and how evil that is. How can we possibly allow this man to stay in power in Syria and he be willing to do what we said that he did? I'm going to take a little risk and go here to Kathy and see if Kathy got anything to say about these kinds of things that are taking place right now. How you doing, Kathy?
Good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful Saturday it is. And no, unfortunately, I have nothing to say, no comment.
Kathy, I need you to get up on this politics sometimes now, this stuff. We need your voice to be heard, your humanity feeling, and bring those feelings to the table when it comes to this war and to this the evilness that is happening in the world. Now, you're supposed to have something to say about those chemical weapons and these children being killed and these women dying. We need your voice.
Okay, well, I'll say this, and I will reference the Word of God. Going back when the Lord had sent King David out to fight another country, and he said to kill everybody, and that included the women, the children, whoever was in that village had to die. So if the president, Trump, thought that his, that he needed to do what he did, then I stand behind him and pray for him. So if you wanted my opinion, I gave it to you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I just want to encourage you to venture into this politics and this stuff because you got something to say. I know you want to be tempered, and you want to talk about the good things, but we want you to be your word to be heard in terms of some of the issues that exist in Washington, D.C. as well, because it's important that we be on top of all the issues and not allow some of them not have our voices.
Well, as
all right,
I was asking Michael what did he think, because you know he watches the news a little bit more than me and those type of programs. So he told, this was what he told me. He said, if you don't know what to say or you haven't listened to it, don't say anything at all. So that's why I said I didn't have any comment, but when you asked me, I had to reference back to the Word of God and how sometimes in certain circumstances we have to kill everything. I mean, you know, it sounds bad. It sounds like a really bad idea, but it has to be done. So if he believed that it had to be done, then it had to be done.
Well, I certainly understand that, and I always appreciate what you bring to the table. I think we have another caller, 34810. Excuse me, I'm sorry, 3481. 3481, give us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Joyce Garrison, and I'm calling from Winter Haven, Florida. My phone was dead, so I borrowed my sister's phone from Las Vegas. Hello.
All right, Joyce, and I want to let everybody know that Joyce and I had a wonderful lunch today. She came to Florida to see her family, and she was visiting. She came over to have lunch with me and visit the Wellsville Museum, and so we had a wonderful time today, and I got to meet her for the first time, and Joyce is a part of the Fantastic Four, and I love every minute of our visit.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so, D, we're going to have to get you down here one day to visit Orlando.
Well, I will. I've been to Orlando to the Universal Studios a few years ago, but that was before I had the pleasure of knowing you, James. So on our next visit, I will make it a point to do so.
Well, I just let you know, those of you who choose to come visit me sometime, lunch or dinner is on me, and so that, you know, I know how to be a wonderful host. But, Joyce, let me go back to you. What are your thoughts about Syria and the tempered response that our president had on bombing this one base that Syria deployed their chemical weapons from?
Well, I agree in somewhat what Kathy states, that sometimes war is necessary to purify and to regulate populations. But in this situation, I feel that I'm taking the stand of what Hillary Clinton took. You know, you're looking at what chemical warfare, but then on the flip side of that, you're not willing to take them in as refugees. So my thought is to whether or not what you did in your action was pure as to what it is that you wanted to do for the sake of the well-being, or whether or not it was just pure ego.
And you know something, Joyce, every time you say something, it helps me to think about what I should say in response, because you're right. Here are these women and children he talked about being killed by these chemical weapons are the same people that he didn't want to make provisions to let those people come into our country. So on one side of the coin, he's talking about these lovely and beautiful children, but yet he wants to refuse to allow these immigrants to have a safe haven in our state. So it seems to be a little contradictory to me. And I don't see anything wrong whatsoever in taking a risk on giving women and children an opportunity to get out of harm's way. And certainly our president didn't think about that. And then the lackluster response where he didn't even really destroy that one base. I mean, why, you know, look like to me, if we, you know, if you destroy the runway, then the planes can't take off. So the fact that the planes were still able to take off tell me they didn't do a very good job of destroying the airport whatsoever. So I'm very concerned about why it what they did didn't seem to do the job.
Exactly. So it makes you think what was his real mission, you see, and why wasn't Congress informed, you know? And some things, why are they not done the right way, you know? You know, our government has changed so much since he's been in power for him to do exactly what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, but that's not how our system runs. That's not what a free world country is all about, as far as being the United States of America.
Well, the other thing is too, he alerted the Russians that he was going to do it so that they could move their military and their servicemen out of harm's way. And I'm sure Russia told the Syrians so that they could move their men out of harm's way. I think my understanding is less than 10 people were killed in this response. I'm not sure if he was really trying to do anything of any true substance. We're at our 30-minute mark, and we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting. Something wrong with me. Never.
every time I'm alone with you, you keep talking about you loving me. Hey, babe, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson if you wanna cheat. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Yeah, it's just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can't believe. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers. Some of them were damn good. But if you think turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would. Cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby, practice what you preach. Is it? Practice what you preach. Show me. Here I am. Practice on me. Is it? What you preach. Here I am, girl, practice on me.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I think Donald Trump knows now that there are a lot of tough decisions that have to be made. And you can't play president. President is a real job, and the decisions that you make as a president come with real consequences. And so he has to understand there are a lot of choices that he has to make right now. And those choices are going to come with some consequences. There are going to be people upset on both sides. And he has to make decisive decisions. And no longer he can point fingers at other people about what they didn't do. Now, the North Korea is the next thing that is going to come up. And I've been told that there are a lot of different options that they're looking at. They're in hopes that China will step in and defuse the situation. But if China chooses not to step in and defuse the situation, then it's going to be up to us to do that. One of the options were to put nuclear weapons into South Korea. Another one was to take out the North Korea leader, but not knowing exactly who would take over leadership if he was taken out. Another decision was to let some of our secret troops go in and destroy his capability of launching missiles. So there are a lot of different things or options they have given him, but none of them are easy fixes. And they're going to require some risk. And so, you know, we have to recognize that this he got to step up. He can't cry about how he said we were going to get our toughness back. We're going to be the toughest country in the world again. We're going to, you know, we're going to be great again. Well, it's time for him to put up a shut up. And it doesn't seem that he's really ready to make these choices. And then when he does, they don't, again, don't seem to be decisive. Rick, what are your thoughts about North Korea and how we should respond to these weapons that they keep firing?
Well, Dan, I think you said it all. And before you went on break, you said that that there are some Russian warships in the area. And the other thing you said before the break was it may be smart for us to start following the money. All right. Now, I got to tell you again, when we talk about Donald Trump and the Trump situation, I'm always going to be the wild card in this conversation. Now, that being said, all right. You know, Putin, President Putin over in Russia, has pretended to be Trump's friend. All right. Now, first of all, let me just go and quick say quickly that I'm a chess player. And when I talk about this situation, I'm looking nine moves ahead, which is going to be like in real time, maybe 10 years of the situation involved. All right, so Putin is playing or he's pretending to be Trump's friend. As you notice, China is not saying much of anything. And that is because they probably going to stand back and see how these two players play together. China, on the flip side, has North Korea in their pocket. And now, like Ms. Audrey said, the older Ms. Audrey, like he said a couple months ago, that we have to keep in mind that Donald Trump is okay long as he's on his meds. But once the leash is a little loose and they're not able to contain him, then he have a tendency to go off and do crazy stuff. And in essence, he's not very diplomatic. So he don't have the attribute on knowing how to talk to other nations and befriend them and keep them on your side. So in saying that, you know, Germany, they shy from him. They're a little shy of him now. And Britain is a little shy of him now. I mean, everybody's kind of standing back and watching what this guy might or might not do. What he's going to tweet. Everybody got to stand back and watch him. Right now, he's on his meds. But next week, by Thursday, it could be a whole different story. So China is standing back and to see how well them and Russia get along. Are they going to buddy up? And so just kind of watch and see what's going to happen with all of that.
Well, the issue is we know that China wants North Korea to remain strong because it's on its borders, and they don't want there to be one Korea. And so they don't want a Korea that is a partner with America right on their border. So what can we possibly do to shut Korea down if they're refusing to do it on their own? And he doesn't care about his people, and the sanctions are keeping them hungry and poor, but he doesn't care. So he's spending all his money on these missiles. And just like you said, it is a chess match. We're not really sure if those warships going toward this Syria mean anything other than is a move to suggest that they're going to be in place to combat our warships that are already there. The fact is that ultimately the game is about those billions of dollars that are not being allowed, Americans are not being able to get to. Putin does not have the ability to get to them himself, so he needs Exxon or BP or one of these large oil companies to be over there to extract that oil so that they can both share in the treasure. But it's going to require us to be on good terms. So we don't know if this is just a display of power that is going to get us to the table so that we can reduce these sanctions that refuse to allow them to get to that money. And that's what I'm saying. I'm just watching closely, seeing what the president does, and concerned about whether or not the American people are getting double-crossed. Joyce, what are your thoughts about all of this, all of these issues that are being going on, and what do you think we should do about North Korea? Are you there, Joyce? You know, I have some major concerns about how all of this is going to play out.
I was muted. Yeah.
Are you there, Joyce?
Okay, hello.
Hi. What are your thoughts about North Korea and this, and how we need to deal with them in this missile crisis that they're creating?
Well, I think what we need to do, what we've done on the administration of Obama, you need to sit back and wait and see what's going to happen. You have some guidelines in place, not just for the United States, but you have it for other countries too. So we cannot keep going solo and showing that you strongholding all these countries, because I feel what's going to happen is that you're pissing off all these other countries and you're going to have so many wars on your hands that, you know, it's not going to work.
But I really believe that China does not have an interest in the getting into any kind of conflict with us, because we owe them so much money. I mean, if they get into a conflict with us, wouldn't that give us the right to say, hey, we want to void what we owe you?
Well, and on the flip side of that, it gives China the right to shut down all the supplies that we're so greatly dependent upon. Then they're going to triple charge us. You see, it's a two-way street. It's a give and take. And it's not always that power is always for the United States. So in order for the United States to be as powerful that they are, that we are, that we have to be able to give and take in order to remain where we are, being the most powerful one. We're not just so powerful just on our own, but it takes other things too to make that happen.
And I think you're right. I think we are interdependent on each other, so we really cannot do anything that really upsets the apple cart. But Korea obviously is going to become an issue if we don't do something. And so this man doesn't seem to have the ability to want to be, want to play cards. He doesn't seem to want to come to a resolution. He just seems to be hell-bent on being able to send missiles to different places throughout the world. Dee, what is your thought about Korea and the conflict that we have with us in China that keeps us from solving this problem?
James, I think you and Joyce are hitting the nail on the head. President Obama, by him not doing anything immediately or for the past 8 years is a show of restraint in a way of, if you will, you say to yourself, and sometimes when we say things, they really have some substance in the issue at hand. Showing restraint in the way of playing cards. See, the card game is like a chess game also. If you don't have a strategy where you have to wait it out, you can't rush in, you can't show your hand too quick. You can't show your hand, all right? So the thing about the Trump administration and the people and the voters that put him in office, one thing about them that you can say for sure, you can put me on record for saying this, they may have money, they may have influence, and they may have a whole lot of stuff. But what they don't have, and this is what Barack Obama did have, they don't have finesse. And so we know that Donald Trump don't have finesse. So when you're dealing with these issues and when you're dealing with other cultures and other ethnics around the world, you have to show some restraint, you have to show some finesse, and you have to kind of play cards with them to get where you're trying to go. Now, there is this thing called collateral damage, which means that some people are going to have to die, like Ms. Joy said. Some people are going to have to die in order to get where you're trying to go as a whole, as a world, and as when it comes down to humanity. You know, it ain't about the United States. Donald Trump has this tendency to want to show that we are the ultimate power again. But it's not about all that. We got to show that we are compassionate as a people, and we want humanity to win in the end as a whole. And so North Korea, the guy over there, and Donald Trump, they both have a lot in common. Those are two players that you probably have to watch the most.
And it's important that we recognize, again, just like Joyce said, we can't go into this by ourselves. It has to be, when we do things on our own, it suggests that we're the only one that has a dog in the fight. And when we go into it with a consensus, then you have more of a willingness, there's more of a willingness to truly do something that is decisive. And so we need to be getting with the other world leaders who see the issues in a similar fashion as we do, so that people know that it's not just America. It is about England. It's about Germany. It's about France. It's about Spain. You know, we need everybody to come to the table and say, hey, enough is enough, and we're going to squash this situation if you don't back down North Korea, so that even China and Russia knows that we're not going at this alone. So there needs to be some consensus about the kind of steps that we take related to these kinds of things. Okay, we're going to take another break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
I'm so in love.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We want you to call in at 657-383-0309. Call in and allow your voice to be heard loud and clear. I want to welcome Ms. Audrey to the line and also share with everyone that she was had lunch with Joyce and I today, as well as came over to visit the museum. How are you doing this evening, Audrey?
Sensational Saturday to everyone. And just know that I was listening in. I was driving as Joyce had the show on the speaker. So I've been with you. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Audrey, since you've been listening, what are your thoughts related to our response to Syria and how it was not very decisive and how they were still able to use their runways and their planes were still able to take off? What is your thoughts to our president's response to the nerve agent or nerve gas?
Well, I think a lot of people will be very proud that the president did something. When you looked at the pictures of how people were just dying, just unable to breathe, whether they were adults or children or babies, it was just a very painful situation to see. And I am somewhat concerned about the fact that he did not meet with Congress and go through the steps. It's not that he I'm not disappointed that some action was taken, and I'm not saying that that was the right action or not, but at least action was taken. But I do know that we have a process, a policy, procedures, a governmental institution that should be inclusive. And I think someone said earlier that, you know, while Russia was informed so that they can ensure that their people were safe and secure and that it was minimum impact, you're right, there is a possibility that Russia took that information and shared it with other countries as well. I'm somewhat like Kathy. People are put into positions and they have to make tough calls. But I do know that we are United States and we do have proper procedures in which we should be going by. So that does raise the flag of our relationship with not only Russia, but China, as we've been talking about, and the implication of several wars going on at different times and not having a plan and not having a strategy. That's something that our previous president would never have been allowed to do. I'm surprised that Democrats are not treating Republicans the way Republicans treated Democrats in the past. Anytime President Obama did anything, people all on the television saying, you know, what shouldn't have been done. But yet we don't see too many of the Democrats saying that, you know, proper procedures were not adhered. And I guess it really doesn't matter, especially when the Republicans have utilized the nuclear option of putting a Supreme judge into office because that's what they want. So maybe it really doesn't matter that we have a constitution and we have rules and regulations. So we just have to wait and see what the next step will be.
And I think you're right. I also want to welcome Regina, how are you doing this evening?
Good.
Well, Regina, I want to extend to you an invitation here in Orlando. I had a wonderful time with Audrey and Joyce. We had lunch at Chef Eddie's, which is an outstanding soul restaurant. Actually, it is. They fix all kinds of different foods. So I want you indeed to also know if you ever come to Florida that you will be treated to a lunch on me. But what are your thoughts about Syria and our president's action
and that it seemed to be undecisive to me. To me, if you were going to make the decision to do what he did, that they should have went further.
You think he should have gone further? I must admit that I'm not making a lot of comments on this. I've been actually reading and talking to Syrians here, and it was very interesting in that their opinion is just like our opinion. They feel that something should have been done because of the turmoil that's going on over there. But they are also, you know, upset with the immigration policy that President Trump has in place. So until I can, I'm neither for or against what he did until I see what the results will be. If there's a positive result in what he did, then I'll give him his props. But if the results are negative, then no, I'm not going to stand by what he did.
Well, Regina, when I said that I don't think he went far enough, when you're going to take military action, then your actions result in making something decisive happen. As a result of those 50 Tomahawk missiles, they were still able to use that base for planes to take off. He did destroy some planes. He did destroy some hangars, but he did not damage the runway in a way that it could not continue to be used. And my thoughts were, if you're concerned about the bombing, then go and take out all the bases that were in Syria instead of just one. So that's my issue, and I'm going to go on record with that. I believe he should have taken out all the bases and made sure he took them out in a way that they couldn't be used.
Well, I think I've seen that some folks have said that they believe he was just trying to flex his muscle to let Syria know that the United States was concerned. And I definitely see what you're saying, but the folk think that he was just trying to flex his muscles a little bit.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it was just an attempt to say, look, I'm doing something. Even if it isn't effective, I did something. But I think it's important that when you punch somebody in the nose, they need to know their nose been punched, and it needs to be some result. Instead of just a red nose, they need to have some blood flow. So that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think that any real damage was done in this situation. Dee, what are your thoughts in terms of the decisiveness, the fact that they were still able to use the runways after the bombs had hit?
Well, again, I think that they are acknowledging the fact that their cabinet, you know, they got issues with the presidential cabinet. And these members, there's a revolving door in these certain departments that they really don't have nobody to fill the offices yet. Right now, everybody's an intern and intermediate. And so I think what he has done is kind of like a slap on the wrist, you know, stop doing that. But he don't want a full-fledged conflict because they're not up and running. And they can't afford to get into a full conflict when you don't really have people to hold down the positions that's needed to engage in a full conflict. So, like you said, they just had to do something, like a little slap on the wrist. But I think Putin, see, everybody knows that Trump has this revolving door in his cabinet. So trying to appear that we're organized and strong. This presidency is really not. And so I think it's something to be seen. It's quite interesting to watch how it's all going to play out.
Regina, let me ask you, and Audrey brought it up, in terms of the way the Senate was able to confirm the new Supreme Court justice, what are your thoughts about what took place?
That is not a good precedent. It means that they can pretty much do what they want to do, and they're showing it.
Well, do you think it'll have any effect on the midterm voting? Will this encourage people to kick some of those senators out of their seats? Will this make us rise up and have a more effective voting as Democrats?
You know, I just saw something where the mayor of Ferguson, Missouri, was reelected. And even after all of that went on and all of that marching that went on, the burnings and all of that, they still reelected this mayor. I just don't know what to say about our people in voting. I can't answer that. If that's indicative of what's going to happen, I mean, we raise all this sand, we do all this talking, and we don't go. The one thing I can say about Trump, he's a man of his word. He said what he was going to do, and he did it. We need to start following that.
Well, you're so right. It's incredible that we don't seem to be able to have the fire that is needed under us to make a difference when people need to be sent a message. Andre, what is your thoughts about what Regina just said in terms of, you know, what kind of response are we going to have if we can't even get the mayor of Ferguson kicked out?
Well, I think it goes back to us just, again, starting a what they call grassroots effort, and making sure that we're communicating and keeping everyone involved, because as she mentioned, people elected him back in. So that says something. So we have to really just start communicating and building our base in order to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish.
And this second term, when we come up to the next election period, we really got to make a statement. I mean, if we're not prepared and ready to make a statement during this opportunity we have to try to get back the Senate and the House, then we really are not strong enough to be able to put Trump out of office after 4 years. I mean, at some point, Democrats have to stand up and have to galvanize ourselves in a way that shows that we should be the ones in control. And right now, it just doesn't seem to be seem like we're ready and prepared to do that. Joyce, what are your thoughts in terms of what we need to be doing in order to see the Democrats take back control?
Well, you saying what's going to happen to put him out of office? His own predecessor, his own members of the Republican Party is really going to put him out of office. What seems to be done, everybody is on the totem pole that he did a good thing, this and this and that, but we don't know what the reaction is going to be down the line. And that's going to show the trueness of what the Republicans are all about and what our Democrats are all about and what we're going to go for. You know, things may be deceiving at this point. So it's a wait-and-see game, honestly, because a lot of it's going to fall on China's back to really see what happens, because China, you know, has very much control over Korea. So we have to wait and see what the outcome is going to be.
looked inside my fantasies and made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
Cassie, what is your final word for this evening? I think I've lost Cassie. Joyce, what is your final word for this evening?
My final word for this evening is we just have to just wait and see where are we going from here. Actually, you don't know what his next move is. Possibly Trump may not even know what his next move is. So we just hope that everything works out for the best.
All right. Audrey, is your final word for this evening?
Go ahead.
Audrey?
Go ahead. Yes. Final word would be, first of all, thank you for being a nice host, and it was a pleasure to be able to talk to you in person about some of the issues that we're faced. And as our country faces different issues, let us again continue to communicate and be active within our communities.
All right, and it was so wonderful breaking bread with you and Joyce as well. And having you come over and visit the Wellsville Museum on 511 West South Street, it was an awesome opportunity to show off one of our treasures. Regina, what is your final word for this evening?
My final word is something that we, I think we need to start paying attention to some of the foreigners. And I'm saying this because in speaking with the Syrians that I spoke with here, they were very much in favor of what Trump did and very critical of President Obama. And that was interesting to me. So when we're looking at Trump's voting base, while we were looking at somebody at another culture, we might need to start looking at some of these other folk who are able to vote also. And I just wanted to share that in what I gathered, you know, from conversation this week.
All right. Dee, what is your final word for this evening?
James, you know, I want to piggyback on what Ms. Regina had said a moment ago about us not being willing to involve ourselves in the voting process per se, for one thing. And I think now where we are at this point, like we've all of us have said tonight, it's a wait-and-see kind of situation. All right, that being said, I think that we can take a page out of the Russians' playbook and start using the Internet and social media as a weapon. While they're doing what they do, and we pray to God that they leave us a playing field to operate on, we need to probably start using Facebook for one, because by using Facebook, we can reach people way across the country and plant little seeds of intrigue into them to where we can kind of spark the seed to galvanize the efforts that we're trying to do. Like when President Obama was elected the first time, old ladies and anybody who had never voted before started coming out. So I think we need to start using the Internet as a weapon to further our cause and our efforts. So when we come down to the midterm election and the next election as a whole, like you say, James, we will be prepared and ready. Thank you, folks.
Guys, I just want to go on record as saying we're going to have to get tough, we're going to have to get focused, and we're going to have to get prepared. It is a must that we gain back control of the House and the Senate. It is a must that we don't allow Donald Trump to have more than one term in office. We have to be prepared to reverse so many of these issues or directions that we're going in, and we cannot do that from a point of weakness. And we have to galvanize ourselves in a way that shows that we are prepared and ready to stick together. And that's people of color, that's people from white America, and that's people of all ages. And it's time that we recognize that we cannot allow ourselves to keep going in this direction. I want to thank all of you for your support, and I want you to know that this show is not what it can be or will be without your interaction. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dial in at 657-383-0309 so that your voice can be heard loud and clear.
Hello, I'm the music major. This is my man Jay Andre. He got a question to ask you. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
left.